Sweet. Good morning. Nice to see you all. Thank you for being here. So happy Father's Day again. A few years ago, my oldest son was 3, and we were going from my grandma's house over to Holly's sister's house, and we came through San Francisco, and we went on the Golden Gate Bridge. And so we stopped, and we walked across the Golden Gate Bridge. And I don't know if you've ever been to the Golden Gate Bridge, but there's something about that bridge that is freaky. My brother-in-law says that half the people that are afraid of heights are afraid they're going to fall, and the other half of the people that are afraid of heights are afraid they're going to jump. So we're walked across the bridge, and my 3-year-old son's there, and he's just fearless. And I'm like, hey, take it easy. Like, don't be crazy. Like, that's a long ways down. And he says, yeah, if I fall, Dad will jump down and save me. I'm like, whoa, really? But I just thought, you know, that's the God that we have. That's the Father that we have. And so I couldn't jump off the Golden Gate Bridge and save my son. But we have a God, and I hope we have that same confidence in our Father. God our Father, if we fall, He will jump and save us. One way or another, He's going to look out for us. He will take care of us. And so, whether your dad showed you that or not, I just appreciate that that's who our Father is. And so, my name is Dove. This morning I want to just start with, why are we here? I assume if you're like me, that you're here because you want to grow in your relationship with God. You want to know God more. You want to be closer to Him. You want to, in 5 years from now, know His voice even more. 10 years from now, you want to walk in His ways and imitate Him. That you desire a closeness with God. I trust if you're like me, that's why we're here. I want to be closer to God. I want to know Him. I want to worship Him and appreciate Him. And so today I want to talk about that. How can we grow in regard to money in our relationship with God? So we're doing a series on money. We're just wrapping it up. This is the 4th and final week. But how does money tie into our relationship with God? How do the material things of this world tie into our spiritual experience with the Father that we have, with the living God who cares for us and provides for us? And so, why don't we pray? And God, thank you. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for the privilege of being here. I thank you for each person here. Thank you that we could gather together and worship you and sing to you, adore you, and appreciate you. God, I pray that you would turn our hearts to really honor you, to glorify you, to see you and fall in love with you. And God, I just come before you to let go of my hold on money, of my own physical provisions, and just trust you. You are God. I pray you would teach us today, and that today would be just part of our journey in walking with you and knowing you. We love you, God, and pray that you would teach us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so today we're going to talk about honor. And so an essential part of our relationship with God is honoring Him for who He is. And the more I get to know God, the more I realize He is big. God is so much bigger than I ever realized. And the little box that I make and like, oh, this is God. I understand God. That little box just constantly gets blown up. And I get a bigger and bigger box, and still, it's not big enough for God. God is just unbelievable. God is so amazing. Who could create this entire universe? Our God. And the more I learn of it, the vastness of it, the minute details and intricacies, and the huge scale of it, God is amazing. And so part of a relationship with God is honoring Him. And even today on Father's Day, We were called to honor our fathers. Honor them. How do we show honor to our fathers? And so we set aside a day out of the year, and we, on this day, we make collect calls to them, right? And hopefully honor them. I heard, I don't think it's, you know, it's not a thing anymore. But when collect calls were big, Father's Day was the number one day for collect calls in the United States. But anyways. So, but how do we honor our fathers? There's an honor that's due to them because they're a father. Purely for that reason. And likewise with God, there is an honor that's due him because he's God. And part of our relationship with God is that honor. Learning to honor him and show him that he is worthy. In Malachi 1:6, God says, if I'm a father, where's the honor due me? Where is this honor? Shouldn't we honor God? Absolutely. Isaiah 29:13, the Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is made up only of rules taught by men. And I hope for us, it goes beyond that. It's not just a bunch of rules, that our honor for God goes beyond just lip service, beyond our mouths, but to the depths of our heart. In our heart, do we truly honor God for who he is, for being God Almighty? This isn't just because God, like, I don't know, is so desperate for attention or something, we should honor him. But as we honor God, he honors us. It's a blessing to us. Okay, so honor or dishonor for God can be displayed by what we do with our material wealth. It's been said before, and I agree, if you want to know what someone truly honors, where their heart truly is, don't necessarily look at what they say. Look at their bank account. Because our bank accounts reflect what we truly put value in. What do we value? What are we willing to put our money into? What are we willing to invest into? That shows, that's a display of what we honor. Luke 16, Jesus says, this has kind of been one of the main verses for this series, no servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. The Pharisees, who loved money, heard all this and were sneering at Jesus. He said to them, what is highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight. What is highly valued among people? Just the other day I was looking at, my son's got this little tiny football, and on the side of it says NFL.com. Do you realize the billions of dollars that have been pumped into the NFL? Billions and billions of dollars. Because we value it. We, as a culture, we honor it. We say, this is worth something. This is worth buying an NFL ticket. This is worth buying clothes and going to games and worth watching. This has value. And you can see because we put our money into it. Put our time into it. A few years ago, I heard there was more money given to the lottery than to churches in the United States. Why? Because at least the lottery has hope for somebody, right? There's value there. It's rewarding somebody. And so our money reflects that. So how can we honor God and show that we really value him with our money? How can we express honor to God through our material wealth? So one way would be we could give him how much he deserves. Okay, so how much does God deserve? If I really want to give God how much he deserves, well, I give him everything I have. And that's still not enough. I mean, he deserves way more than that. I could maybe donate blood on top of that, you know? It's like, I gotta get, like, how much is God worth? Well, way more than I have. Or I could give God what he's asked. What has he directed us? And so throughout the Bible, the tithe has been the material expression of honor to God as provider. So I'm going to go through some places and just look at this idea of a tithe. from Abraham, Jacob, the law, the prophets, Jesus, and the epistles. And so Abraham, he's kind of the first guy we know something about his personal life in the Bible. And after he had a really successful time, he's traveling, and it says in Genesis 14, "Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was priest of God Most High, and he blessed Abraham, saying, 'Blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who delivered your enemies into your hands.'" Okay, so Abraham just had this amazing victory, and he meets this mysterious priest, which we don't know much about. And this priest gives him this amazing blessing, Melchizedek. And so, by the way, Abram is his name before Abraham. It's the same guy. And then it says, "Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything." So this priest who gave him a blessing, and he just plundered, he had this great victory. He takes a tenth of everything he has. And that's the word for tithe. The word tithe means a tenth. And he gives it to the priest. He gives it to Melchizedek. All right, his grandson, Jacob. Jacob's in this time where he's really searching for God. He's on the run, and he has a dream. And it says, "When Jacob awoke from his sleep, he thought, 'How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven.' Then Jacob made a vow, saying, 'If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house. And all that you give me, I will give you a tenth." So again, Jacob is just saying, "I'll give you a tenth, a tithe." And then later on, the law, it becomes a requirement, a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. The entire tithe of the herd and flock, every tenth animal that passes under the shepherd's rod, will be holy to the Lord. He must not pick out the good from the bad or make any substitution. These are the commands the Lord gave Moses. Okay, so in this case, they're giving of what they grew, of their livestock, saying every tenth animal you give to God, don't give him the junky ones. It's like, "Oh, there's a sick one that's half blind. Let's give that one to God." It's like, no, don't do that. We give God the best and the first. The amazing thing about the law, some parts of the law, there was certain requirements or certain consequences. But for the tithe, there was no, like, record keeping. The priest wasn't going to show up at somebody's door like, "Hey, you didn't give a tenth of your stuff this year." It was between the people and God. And so they came and brought God to honor God and show, "Wow, you provided all of this. I'm going to keep 90%, and I'm going to give you back 10%. It was a matter of honor. Moving on into the prophets in Malachi, "I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, 'How are we to return?' Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, 'How do we rob you?' In tithes and offerings, you are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your fields will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Then all the nations will call you blessed, for yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty." What an amazing thing. I love the promise here. And I don't know of anywhere else that God says, "Test me." Most of the time it's like, "Don't test God." Like, "I need a miracle and then I'll believe in you." It's like, "Nah, don't test him." But here he's like, "Test me. Go ahead, try me. You think if you give me a tenth of what I give you, you're going to be broke? Try it. Give me a tenth." and see. See if I don't bless you so much that you'll have extra, that you'll have an abundance. Try it.
I don't know. It's kind of bold. I like it.
So moving on, Jesus also talks about the tithe. Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you've neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. So Jesus, this may be the only time he says anything positive to the Pharisees. The Pharisees are kind of these religious hypocrites. And here he's saying, look, you did all this, like, you actually gave a tenth of your spices. Like these little tiny crops that you hardly have anything of, you make sure to give a tenth. But you forgot the big part, your heart in it. Your connection to God in the middle of that. But he's saying, it was good what you did, but you should have done the bigger part, which is your heart. God is interested in your heart. The epistles later on in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians 8, Paul writes, and now, brothers, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Out of the most severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the saints. Okay, so what's going on? There's like a famine in Jerusalem. Paul's going around and he's gathering money to help those guys out in Jerusalem. And then what he says here is really amazing. And they did not do as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us in keeping with God's will. And so what I understand that to say is, even in the midst of giving to all kinds of good things, these people, he's commending them because they gave first to God. They honored God first, right where they were at. And then they went beyond that and said, this is going to hurt. We don't have that much extra, but we're going to bless our brothers in Jerusalem. Let's provide an extra offering for them. And so I think I want to just stop a little bit. And to me, at least, there's like a little bit of an elephant in the room somewhere. So I didn't grow up going to church. And when I visit my aunts and uncles or grandma or something, we would go to church. The first time I started going to church as an adult, I started going my sophomore year of college. And when I first went to church, I went really guarded. And I had got this line in my head that churches were just after my money. And so it's kind of funny. Now, here I am talking about money. So it's kind of ironic. But I remember being kind of guarded, because the honest truth is, there's been some people who have preyed upon people, used guilt, used all kinds of things to improperly make huge amounts of money. And I think that's really sad. And I think it's really dishonoring to God. I appreciate it so much. I have no disrespect or have nothing against churches that pass an offering plate. I think that's a beautiful thing, and there's cool things in that. But it meant a lot to me to come to a church, and they never passed a plate. And giving money was between me and God. And I had to search the church wherever this box was where I could put money in it. From the depths of what I'm saying, I hope you guys can hear it. It's money is between us and God. And if we can honor God in a way with our money, what a blessing. What a gift. I want to honor God that way. I want to honor Him in singing. I want to honor Him in ministry. I want to honor Him in my time. I want to honor Him in my money. Moving on, 1 Corinthians 9. Don't you know that those who work in the temple get their food from the temple, and those who serve at the altar share in what is offered on the altar? In the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. So, again, he's saying, in the same way, in the way it used to work, just as the money went to the temple, and those who worked in the temple received that money, In the same way now, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from that. And so this has been an area that's been challenging for me in the last 3 years as a pastor. And I stand before you humbly to say that God says it's right to receive an income for preaching the gospel, for doing His work. And there's been times that I've really struggled with that, like, okay, am I really producing enough to be worth the money that people give to God? And in one sense, this last year when we've taken on second jobs, it's been a little bit refreshing of like, okay, I can at least say I've earned my keep. It's humbling to me to say that's how God has set it up. That those who work in the gospel should receive their income from that. And that comes from our tithes as we give to the work of God. Okay, so we can see it's kind of laid out throughout the Bible, this idea of giving God the first fruits, the best, the what we have in the tithe. In the same way today, the tithe is still the material expression of honor to God as provider. So just as before, God gave the tithe to those who were responsible to care for His house. As it says in Numbers 18:21, I give to the Levites, those who are the priests, all the tithes in Israel, in return for their work they do while serving in the tent of meeting. So the priests, the Levites, they weren't allowed to even own property. They weren't allowed to have other jobs. They weren't allowed to do anything. They were solely dependent on what their fellow people gave to God. And that's how they received their income. That's how they received their provision. And so they were responsible for the house of God. Of course, now we are the house of God. God lives in us. Not even in this cool, like, warehouse building, but we are His house, we are His church. And so the money given for the care of God's house is given as the care for us. And so as a pastor, this is kind of an aside, but I just want to throw that out to you all. I'm sure you know that. Myself and our other pastor, Steve, are here to care for you guys. And if you guys have needs in your life, even if it's just a listening ear or help through a challenge that you're going through, in addition to preaching and teaching through God's Word, that's why we're here. We're here to care for God's house, and we are available for that. There were also additional offerings and other givings that supported other activities than that God had prescribed. In the same way, sometimes we do additional things beyond just the care of the church. So through the tithe, God provides for our spiritual needs. And that is my hope, that God will provide for all of our spiritual needs together. I have a friend, he's traveled a bit, and he said wherever he's gone and all different sizes of churches that he's seen in different places, he feels like even in America where it's really affluent, what we need to really care for the people in the church is about 10%. And if you go to somewhere really poor, and what they need to provide for the needs of their community is about 10%. It works. What God has set up works. It provides, whether it's a huge church, tiny church, poor church, rich church, that just provides for the needs that are there. And so, perhaps more than any other area, like we were talking about before, God promises to outwardly respond to us based on whether we honor Him with our money. How cool. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. Honor Him with the first fruits, and you'll have all you need. That's like a promise there. Honor God, because He's the one that takes care of us. And my kids before have asked me, why do pastors tithe? Like, shouldn't you just write yourself a check? I mean, you're just going to, like, get the money later. And honestly, I don't see it that way. I don't see it as, oh, I'm giving money to Dove and Steve and to pay the rent. Obviously, I understand that's where the money goes. But I honestly see it as between me and God. As like, God gave me all of this. If he asks for a little bit of it back, absolutely, I'll give him a little bit back. And that's why I even like to write on there, this is for God. It's not for Dove and Steve and rent. Yes, it does go there. But this is for God. This is for him. And it's between me and him. And he has shown himself so faithful to me. Over all the years, I have never lacked, not one day in my life. He has provided for me over and over and over again. In times when things were lean and in times of abundance, he continues to provide. And for me, I think starting to tithe in college is a great time. If you've never tithed when you're poor, it's a great time to start tithing. Because giving 10% of a tiny amount of money is just a little bit of money. Like, okay, no problem. I've heard that it's hard when you're really rich to give a tenth. One time a pastor, somebody in his congregation came up to him and said, I don't know if you understand how hard it would be for me to write a check that big. That would be really hard. And so the pastor said, well, let me pray for you. And he put his hand on the man's shoulder and he said, God, I pray that you would reduce this guy's income. That it could be easier for him to give some of it to you. And so it is between us and him. There is no, this is not between any of us. Between us and God, is he worth us honoring him with our money? And how do we do that? What a blessing that God gives us 90. He wants us to have the 90 and use it for his good. So, all right, I want to review our series. The Christian life becomes possible when we transfer our trust from money to God. And we really know that he's the one that provides. This transfer is evident in three ways, and these are kind of the last 3 weeks. The first of those ways, God will lead us to a life of financial freedom and contentment through his promises of provision. And he will lead us away from debt, away from taking things that we don't have the money for, towards saving for our needs, and towards being generous to others, because he provides. We experience this freedom and contentment knowing that God has given us what we need. The second week, looking at, we will see ourselves as stewards of resources given to us to accomplish God's business on earth. So a steward is not someone who owns the business or owns the money. It's just a manager. And if we see ourselves as managers, God owns everything. When we die, there's no trailer hooked to the hearse. We don't take any of it with us. You leave it all here because it was never really ours to begin with. But it's ours for a time, but we are just managers of it. We are stewards of it. So we get to use it, and we give an account to the owner. And he says, how did you use it? Well, I did this and this and this. Well done. Way to use those talents and time and treasures that I gave you. And so some of the ways that we can be stewards of it is to provide for our families. God has given that we could provide for our families, that we could meet the needs of other believers. And certainly there's a time when I'm in need, and there's a time when others are in need, and we're able to care for each other because of what God has given us. We use that money to bring others to Christ, to do mission trips, to do programs, to do things, to bless somebody who you know is far from Christ. Take them out to eat. Take care of their needs. Do something as an intent for them to see the love of God, to share it with spiritual leaders, to give to the poor and needy. We're stewards that we could do all these amazing things with God's money, and then we leave it behind. And then the third part today, we will use money as the primary symbolic instrument to demonstrate that we look to and we honor God for our provision, our security, and our happiness. This is done through the tithe of all he gives us. On the back of your sheet, I don't want you to check anything now or sign anything, but between you and God, I just want you to ponder this. Where are you at? In my desire to honor God and express outwardly and material His place in my life as my God and provider, which one of these would you say you were at? And just to ponder that. Number one, I commit myself today for the first time to honor God as my Lord, my security and my provider, by giving to Him a tithe of all that He gives me. So if that's where you're at between you and God, is that what you would say? Number two, I've been committed and renew my commitment today to honor God on a regular basis by giving Him a tithe of all that He gives me. Or number three, I commit myself to seek God's will for how He wants me to honor Him. And maybe, who knows where we're at, maybe saying, I would like to give 2% of what I have as a way to honor God and put Him first in everything He gives me. So between you and God, where are you at? And Jesus said He gave His blood as a new covenant. The old covenant was, if you do all the right things, then you'll make it. Then I'll be okay with you. The new covenant is Jesus gives. The new covenant is anyone who wants righteousness, it's available. Anyone who puts their faith in Him, He provides. Thank you, God. I thank you for providing for all my needs. Thank you for a roof over my head and food to eat. And thank you for people that love me. God, I pray that in my heart I would honor you always. May you be honored with our worship. May you be honored with our money, with our lives and our love for each other. We just offer it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.